Welcome to the HODLcast. Today is November 29th. We're going to be talking about the BlockFi bankruptcy. So yesterday on Cyber Monday, November 28th, BlockFi filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in New Jersey. It halted its withdrawals on November 10th after citing FTX contagion. So BlockFi was in the business of providing these high yields on various crypto products. So people would deposit their Bitcoin or their Tether onto the BlockFi platform, and it would pay out a yield of something like 6% on Bitcoin, 9.3% on Tether. The SEC and various state regulators put a real damper on their business when it was sued for $100 million last spring. It was forced to shut down its interest accounts in the U.S., and it went nearly bankrupt. It also had a major crisis when Three Arrows Capital shut down. So that was part of it. It got hit by the SEC, and then it got hit by Three Arrows for $80 million right at the same time. So BlockFi nearly went bankrupt last June, and then FTX came to the table, and they offered a $400 million line of credit, and they offered an option to buy the company for $240 million. This time last year, BlockFi had just raised $350 million on a $3 billion valuation. So SBF saying $240 million, that was, you know, a huge come down compared to only half a year earlier from that time. And then BlockFi's CEO, Zach Prince, said he learned of the FTX demise via Twitter. So this is his main lending partner, and he's not even entitled to a DM from SBF or a phone call. Maybe he learns about that his whole company is probably going to go under just based on, you know, those tweets that we all saw coming out of SBF. So right now, BlockFi has 292 staff members, 288 of which are located in the United States. And when a company files Chapter 11, it means they keep going with all their existing operations. I'm sure they'll probably lay some of those people off, but some people will continue getting paid and working to try and restructure this company. We'll see if it, you know, comes to any avail. My thoughts are they should just all file Chapter 7 and just sell off the remaining assets on these things. Keeping going with Chapter 11 ends up just creating a lot more costs, and all they're spending right now is creditors' money. Right after filing for the bankruptcy, BlockFi sued FTX. Apparently, FTX pledged shares of Robinhood to BlockFi after Alameda defaulted on a $680 million collateralized loan in early November. Alameda couldn't pay BlockFi, and they said, here, we're going to give you our shares in Robinhood. BlockFi accepted that deal, but then the brokerage firm ED&F never actually transferred the shares over to the name of BlockFi. Then there's, it said that SBF was going on Signal trying to sell those shares to other people at the same time. So there might be multiple people with claims to these shares. It's about 7% of all of Robinhood shares. So we'll see what happens there. It sounds like, you know, Zach is just pissed at SBF, and he should be. SBF pretty much ruined this guy's business. So what does it mean for retail loans? Well, when they first paused withdrawals, they sent out a kind of saucy email telling everyone they needed to continue repaying their loans, you know, saying, we're going to send you to the credit bureau if you don't keep repaying our loans. They linked to their terms of service where it said what happens if someone fails to pay back a loan. But then once they actually filed for the Chapter 11, they said that based as of the date of November 11th, all loans have gone into a forbearance, and any amounts due, including interest, are set to zero. Loans will not be reported delinquent to credit bureaus. So no one has to pay those back. I don't think you can pay them back. The whole system is just shut down right now. So what's interesting here is the role the SEC played in all of this mess. So the SEC is listed as a creditor. They're owed $30 million, and they have priority to be paid back ahead of retail investors here. So the SEC's whole mandate is to protect retail investors, yet they are in front of retail investors. The company was fine at the time the SEC intervened and made them shut down their U.S. accounts. That is questionable as to whether they really were fine, but customers weren't impacted yet at this point. I think the SEC should disgorge the $20 million that they've already collected and just write off this debt. It's just too awful for them to be there collecting money in front of the retail investors that they're just supposed to protect from an optics standpoint. But we'll see. The SEC is under absolutely no duty to do that. So we'll see, you know, what they do. Their action actually led BlockFi to engage in the deal with FTX in the first place. So the SEC is responsible in part for BlockFi using and storing customer assets on the FTX platform. Before that, they didn't have funds on there. And, you know, as we all know, those funds got entirely wiped out, and it's unlikely they're going to be recoverable. BlockFi has 100,000 creditors or more, and it owes them somewhere between $1 and $10 billion in liabilities. The cash on hand is $256 million. They say they do have assets somewhere in the range of $1 to $10 billion, but those assets are probably completely illiquid. It's probably things like the FTT token or shares in other companies that have gone bankrupt or will go bankrupt. Their cash on hand of $256 million is not going to go far in paying these attorneys. The Celsius bankruptcy attorneys are costing approximately $4 million a month. So, you know, the money just gets evaporated in paying staff, the 288 staff, and the bankruptcy attorneys. The top 50 creditors include Ancura Trust, which was an indentured loan that they took out in June 28th for $729 million. They owe FTX US $275 million and the SEC $30 million. And the other creditors, they kept their names private. And I guess one thing interesting about filing for bankruptcy in New Jersey rather than the Southern District of New York, which is where all the other crypto bankruptcies are happening, is New Jersey has different privacy rules. So it's already been established through the Celsius case that it's okay for bankruptcy courts to disclose the name of every creditor, every retail investor that used the platform. We'll see if New Jersey does the same thing. They have a little bit different privacy standards. The attorney compensations to date is very high. You know, Kirkland and Ellis, the name we're pretty familiar with from the Celsius bankruptcy, they charge, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a day. I'm subscribed to the Serato docket for the Celsius case, and I'm getting two or three emails every day. Like, they are just constantly filing in that case. And who knows, you know, if the filings are really productive or not, but it's certainly active. But one of the things they had listed in their billing was spending, I think it was 3.4 hours a day reading news about the bankruptcy. So like, they're scrolling through Twitter, reading the interesting stuff that people are saying about the bankruptcy and charging, you know, thousands of dollars an hour to do that. So it's a real charade. So Kirkland and Ellis has already been paid $3.4 million in fees for this bankruptcy filing. Hayes and Boone, $2.6 million. And Cole Schultz, $185,000. They must be wondering why they didn't charge a little more. Just kidding. Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to get any money back here. The money they have will just get eaten up to all these fees. As Tiffany Fong tweeted yesterday, the key to getting rich in a bear market is to become a bankruptcy attorney. And she's certainly not wrong. We'll keep you posted as things unfold. The first hearing is happening in a couple hours.